Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Si, senor, it's Monday, August 29th. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air on the memorial of the Passion of St. John the Baptist. I'm John Morales. Glenn is enjoying a couple of days off. Our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya, is with us this morning. Thank you so much for joining us across America. It's always a joy and an honor to be with you once again here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. In case you missed us talking about it last week, we have a new Relevant Radio audio mystery to tell you about. From the studio that brought you Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol comes The Race of the Year, a race by rails from Chicago to Sacramento between George Pullman's Night Train and Webster Wagner's Midnight Express. It's the event to witness in 1879, and kids Edith and Paul Millard aren't about to miss it, but when mysterious accidents begin to overtake their dad's night train, it's up to them to solve the mystery and save the train before it's too late. Don't miss an episode of On the Night Train, an audio mystery for the entire family, premiering with episode one on September 11. Sign up for free at onthenighttrain.com. That's onthenighttrain.com. And you can listen to my conversation that I had the other day with Peter Atkinson, the director of the Merry Beggars on Relevant Radio, for much more on his latest project, On the Night Train. And, of course, you can catch that on the Morning Air podcast at relevantradio.com. I want to bring in our Sarah. Sarah, good morning. Good to be with you. Glenn is off enjoying himself today.
He's taking some time for R&R, and we appreciate that he can do that. We appreciate when we all can do that, so it's nice to let him have a couple days off, right?
Absolutely. This project that we've been talking about for days, On the Night Train, it's really exciting, and I love the trailer. The trailer looks really cool.
Well, even just listening to the sound is cool. I feel, you know, just immersed in the sound of the trains and everything. And when we were talking with Peter, he was talking about how cool that is, just all the different sounds from the steam engines. And, you know, for just all of us, I mean, kids and adults alike, it just seems like a time that just so long ago, trains don't sound like that now. We were listening to the trailer. My kids were like, when can we ride a train? I'm like, well, yeah, let's go on a train ride. Why not? So many cool things in your imagination can happen on a train, so it'll be great to be able to listen to it every night. Nice little bedtime story about the adventures of these two kids on the train and what is going to happen. I can't wait to find out.
Are your kids into trains, Sarah?
Right now, we've got some that are, and I have one that's a little bit more of the train age and the other one that's kind of grown past that. He's a little bit older. The other older kids are not as into it, but still, I mean, listening to it, you get back into, you know, it's nostalgic for them, you know, like it was like 3 years ago. Nostalgic for them to think back, oh yeah, we were into trains and we did this train stuff. So it'll be a fun experience. I'm looking forward to it.
I always remember my Joseph when he was little. He loved Thomas the Tank Engine. That was his deal. Everything was all about trains. So I'm going to bring in my teenager to check this out on the night train. It sounds like a fantastic project. It'll be premiering here on Relevant Radio September 11th. You can catch it on Relevant Radio or also on thenighttrain.com. Just about everybody is back in school. How's that going so far?
Well, the Tafoya kids are at school as we speak right now. They're on their way. So, yeah, everyone's getting their stuff in their backpacks and everything like that. And, you know, when you're going back to school, there's all those things that kids need to have. You know, you have to go on that treasure hunt looking for all those school supplies, which can be frustrating and exciting because you're getting deals and stuff. So there's lots of aspects to go into that. But a lot of things that parents need to do to get back into school. And we did have an interview where we said some of the things that, like, we should try to be remembering about as we're getting back to school. And you can check out the podcast for Morning Air if you want to check that interview out. But one thing I think that's helpful is, you know, making like little lists for myself. I know I make myself a couple of lists of the different things that day or that week that are going to be going on, just so that I can keep track and remember that. And the one thing I think we don't always think about is that pickup line. Depending if your kid's not coming home on the bus and you're going to be waiting in line for a while, make a plan to, I try to make a plan to make the most of that time. Because if you don't, you're going to end up scrolling on Facebook or some kind of social media thing and wasting that time. So it's good to try to think of, okay, what are the things I can accomplish while I have to sit in this line? And oftentimes I try to bring a book, and if I have the baby with me, which I often do, then we're playing peekaboo or taking a walk while we're, if it's going to be a long wait. But some of those things, you know, you don't think about, but those are the things like connecting with the teacher and kind of getting to know them so you can kind of get their personality. Because sometimes the kids come home and they say all the bad things the teacher did, but they don't say the nice things the teacher's doing. So it's good to kind of have a relationship with the teacher, I think.
Never underestimate the importance of a basic calendar. That's like 101. Just make sure you know what's going on any given day. Well, thanks as always, Sarah.
You got it.
We always begin each hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on Morning Air. Whenever we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Matthew 24:42. Jesus the Lord said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come." Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that he is coming back to take us with him. No one can know the exact day or the hour of Jesus' return for us individually or at the end of the world. One thing we do know for sure is that Christ will return at a time we least expect it. Therefore, we must always be ready, and we always pray with great confidence that powerful prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Again, you can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now I want to talk about one of the reasons why I believe that life is winning in America, despite all that you hear in the mainstream media after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. One of the most compelling reasons is the pro-life generation, the young people, the youth of America, who are now the post-Roe generation. Our next guest has been following in the footsteps of her legendary grandfather, Joe Shadler, the founder of the Pro-Life Action League, and at her young age, she's already doing some amazing work in the pro-life movement.
The topic of abortion has been a prominent subject for the last 50 years, and now in a post-Roe America, it's even bigger. So what can we do to share the pro-life message? What can we do to share the pro-love message? I'm Hope Miller, and this is The Hope Miller Show.
And joining us live from suburban Chicago is Hope Miller, a young pro-life activist. She's the present as well as the future leader of the pro-life movement. Hope hosts a podcast. You just heard the intro, called The Hope Miller Show on Spotify. She's a public speaker and works for national pro-life leader Abby Johnson, the founder of And Then There Were None. Good morning, Hope. Welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you this morning. It is a joy to be able to have you on the show.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning. How are you?
Doing really, really well. It's been a while since you and I first met, almost a year last October, when you first joined us here on Morning Air. I'd love to get your perspective. Where were you, and what was your reaction when you found out that Roe v. Wade had been overturned?
Well, I was actually driving down to Indiana for a pro-life women's conference. So, you know, I was alone when I found out, but once I arrived at my destination, I was celebrating with over 400 pro-life women, and it was beautiful.
Wow, it had to be really emotional for you, especially when you consider that your hero, your grandfather, the late great Joe Shadler, founder of the Pro-Life Action League, this is something that he worked for his entire life, something that he dreamt about, but he didn't get to see while here on this earth. What did it mean for you in terms of following in your grandfather's footsteps?
Well, a couple things. I think, and first, as much as I wish you were here to see this day, I can't help but think that we're seeing this day because he's working harder than ever in heaven. But then also knowing that I'm here to finish it. Like, the overturning of Roe was really exciting, but it's not good enough for me. I have to see abortion end.
No question about it. There is a tremendous amount of work still that needs to be done now that Roe is overturned. Can you talk about, from your own perspective, why you personally are pro-life and why you decided to get involved in the pro-life movement?
Well, you know, I grew up with my grandfather, Joe Shiver, so I was always pro-life, but at a younger age, maybe 12 or 13, I really got hit by a picture of a victim of abortion, baby David. And, you know, something in me just changed, and I knew I couldn't just sit idly by. So around 13, I started really digging deep into, you know, what abortion was and what I could do, just learning as much as I could. And 14, I really started my own activism.
And Hope, you've really been doing a lot working with young people, inspiring and helping to educate fellow young people. How challenging is it to be pro-life with all the pro-abortion propaganda, especially on social media, that is just brainwashing young kids?
Well, I'm the wrong person to ask about social media. I was just banned from it for my pro-life stance. So being pro-life on social media is tough because they do censor everything. That part is tough. But other than that,
you were banned. Tell us about that. What happened?
So I'm on Instagram and TikTok, and those are just the younger, I don't know, generations social media platforms. And I was banned on TikTok and then later got it back, but now I'm permanently banned on Instagram and I cannot get it back. So,
and what did they tell you? What was their rationale?
They just said that I was impersonating Hope Miller, which is not true. And, you know, I tried to appeal it to get it back, but wouldn't work. So I just took it as that's God's plan, and I'm going to move forward anyway.
Yeah, that's quite challenging to have to deal with social media companies like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. They've done plenty of censoring of the pro-life message. How concerning is that that in this country that there isn't a full freedom of speech to be able to bring the truth of the culture of life?
You know, it's scary. It's very scary that not just that we can't tell truth, but that so many people are believing these lies. Like, you know, I was doing this thing where I was posting simple pro-life ideas to do, and it was people, even pro-choicers, were getting on board with it. And so I was uniting two parties that have almost nothing in common. And, you know, what's scary is that that's taken away. And our society wants these two parties to be so separated, and that's terrifying. And believing these lies that, you know, abortion is good for women and it doesn't harm them or whatever it may be. It's just, there are so many lies and we can barely tell the truth. And that is scary that these young girls are not understanding what's going on with their body, are not understanding what abortion is or anything like that. And that is terrifying to me.
How are you encouraging fellow young people to take action against the ideology of abortion, against the philosophy of the big abortion movement of Planned Parenthood?
Well, you know, that's still a learning process, figuring out which, you know, how best to go about it. But my main thing is just I want to give everyone the opportunity to just simply get involved. And how do you do that? There are tons of ways. Everyone has different gifts and talents, and everyone has different schedules and busy lives and things like that. And so it's really about doing the simple things. And, you know, I remember just Mother Teresa just doing the little things with so much love. And eventually those little things built up over time to create one big thing. But, you know, it's about the little things. And so I've been, you know, encouraging people around me to just, hey, take it a step at a time. You don't need to do, you know, big public speaking engagements. You can do simple things every day for the unborn.
You recently connected with former Planned Parenthood Clinic Director of the Year, Abby Johnson, who is one of the foremost pro-life leaders in our country today, the founder of And Then There Were None. How did you connect with her, and how did the opportunity to work with her come up?
Well, I was at the Midwest March for Life giving a speech, and I was in the pre-rally, and Abby was in the main rally. But due to weather, we all went inside the Capitol building, and so we were in the same segment together, I guess, because it kind of just merged. And I'm sitting there, I'm next up, and I'm like, Grandpa, please let Abby walk in. Like, this is such a great opportunity. I just want her to hear me. It was nothing beyond that. I just wanted her to hear me. So I gave, you know, right then, right as they're introducing me, Abby walks in. I was like, oh, thank you, Grandpa. And
Grandpa, that would be the late, great Joe Schaller, the founder of the Pro-Life Action League, praying from heaven for you.
Yes. And so she sat down smack dab behind me, and I gave my speech, and I sat down, and she's standing up clapping, and she looked down at me, and she goes, good job. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is so cool. So afterwards, I was talking to somebody, and she was like, oh, my goodness, Abby just thinks you're the cutest. She just loves what you do. And I was like, you mean Abby Johnson? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, my goodness, Abby's talking about me. This is thrilling. And so, I don't know, we just kind of kept in contact, and I got hired on for an internship. And now I'm going to go full-time for Abby. We're still figuring out what that's going to look like. But, yeah, that's where I'm at.
That is awesome news. And, you know, Abby saw what this reporter saw last year. You are still a teenager, right?
Yeah.
So she obviously saw those qualities and that leadership and that passion that you have for life. I understand you're putting on an event for primarily high school, but even college students of ways that they can get further involved in the pro-life movement. Tell us about that upcoming event.
Yeah, so I am having an event. It is October 1st in Barrington, Illinois. You can find all the information at greatlifeteens.org. And it's just called the Simply Pro-Life event. You can also find that on social media, just at Simply Pro-Life. And if it's hard to remember, just it's simple. It's Simply Pro-Life. And so anyways, the event is an opportunity for young people to just get involved. So, for example, Live Action is one of the sponsors at the event. And you can quite literally speak with, you know, one person who works at Live Action and ask them all the questions that you've got. And you can, you know, apply for internships or ambassadorships or, you know, whatever it may be. Turning Point USA is another amazing sponsor, of course, Pro-Life Action League. So these are all organizations that, you know, you in some way can get involved with. And then Abby Johnson will be a speaker, as well as the Pro-Life Spider-Man. And if you haven't heard of him, he basically scales skyscrapers and drops pro-life messages at the top. So it's really neat. It's going to be an awesome event.
That's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Pro-Life Spider-Man. That's incredible.
Yeah. Very unique. Yeah. So he's going to be at the event as well. So, yeah, it's just all around going to be very exciting. It's a good time.
It's got to be quite encouraging for you at such a young age to be making a difference, touching hearts, because at the end of the day, it's not just about overturning Roe v. Wade. It really is about making abortion unthinkable and really changing hearts and minds. And if we can reach the young people who really are the pro-life generation, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Any final words of encouragement for any other young kids that might be listening and may feel at times intimidated, especially in this woke culture where it's really, out of bounds to even talk about the culture of life?
Just take it one baby step at a time. You don't have to jump right into it. Just learn a lot and just start doing the simple things, and it'll build over time. But we need to be doing something pro-life every day.
Well, Hope, it's been a joy to be with you once again. There are many, many good things in store for you in the future as you continue to promote the culture of life, especially among the youth. I really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Many blessings to you. And again, the event is coming up on October 1st, and you can find much more about it at, what is the website again?
It was greatlifeteen.org.
Greatlifeteen.org. Thanks again, Hope. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Hope Miller, a pro-life activist and the host of the Hope Miller Show podcast on Spotify, and the teenage granddaughter of the late legendary Joe Schuyler, the founder of the Pro-Life Action League. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined in studio by our good friend, career coach Bruce Lockenauer, will be in the house with many more insights on some of the most common mistakes made by job seekers. So stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air rolls on here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Morning Air on the Memorial of the Passion of St. John the Baptist. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off for a couple of days. Bless his heart. Sarah is with us. Thanks so much for joining us. And once again, it's time to continue our series on how to land your dream job with career coach Bruce Lockenauer, who is with us live in studio. And he'll be taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, today we're going to continue discussing some of these top mistakes that are made by job seekers and ways to address some of those mistakes. You can always send your questions and comments to Bruce at bruce@relevantradio.com. That's bruce@relevantradio.com. Bruce Lockenauer has a bachelor's degree in economics from Northwestern University and an MBA from Harvard. He has spent the last 25 plus years working with public and private company board of directors, CEOs, and top executives on their careers and talent needs. Good morning, Bruce. Thanks so much for joining us live here in our Chicago studios. Hard to believe you're here in the flesh and that it's coming up on 1 year since we connected.
John, it's so nice to be here. I feel like such an official radio guy with you and Sarah and all the equipment here. It's a lot of fun. I can't believe it's been a year. I mean, it's been a great year. And I think we've helped some people along the way, which is what we're all about. I was at a Relevant Radio event in Dallas last week and was meeting various people. And I met one woman and she said, "Oh my gosh, you're from Morning Air. You're the career coach guy. Just a minute. I got to get my husband." So she said, "I've been telling him all about you." So I'm hopeful that we've been able to help people through this.
We've covered a myriad of topics in the last year. We really have. And what I love of when you and I chat about how to land that dream career, you always bring that spiritual, that Catholic perspective to the equation. This is not just, you know, your regular secular, you know, career coach talk.
No, you're right. Well, this is Relevant Radio, and it's wonderful to talk about all aspects of work because, you know, it's as you know, you don't just leave your faith at the church. You bring it into your entire life, your family life, and your work life. So,
absolutely. You know, we have many new listeners that have jumped on board. We have a new station out in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. So there are some folks that may not have heard you talking about the 12 steps. Can you give us a quick thumbnail sketch, a recap of those 12 steps to landing a dream job?
John, it'd be my pleasure. And it's really important that you do each one of these as you go through the process. And the first one we talked about was discovering what that dream job is, and by understanding your competencies, your passions, aligning that with the job market and praying about it, John. You know, after you do the work and get input from friends and family, get in front of the Blessed Sacrament and say, you know, Lord, that I may see. The second step is aligning your marketing materials. And that's not just your resume and LinkedIn, but it's your social media. Everything's got to tell a consistent story about who you are and how you operate. Then the third step is you want to perfect your elevator pitch. John, that's got to give the succinct message that's going to make people interested in finding out more. You have to be crisp and rehearsed, well rehearsed on that.
And we're talking about a pitch that you could do in 20 seconds.
That's right. That's right. Going up the elevator. You got just a few minutes before that elevator or a few seconds before that elevator hits the next floor. So you got to be crisp and focused on what you need to communicate. And John, that fourth step, this is like the cornerstone of a successful job search. And that's networking. I call it, the fourth step is network, network, network. Because that's how you get into the right culture and the right position effectively and efficiently. The fifth step is to connect with headhunters. We talked about how to do that. And by the way, John, as you know, all these shows are out there. So you can go on to our app and just type Bruce and boom, all the shows pop up. The sixth step is nailing that interview, being well rehearsed and prepared. So you come in and just knock the socks off of that interviewer. The seventh step is understanding the compensation before you get an offer. And we talked about all the tools that are out there to help you find out what that role pays. The eighth step is to transform the negotiation. Wait, negotiate? You need to negotiate. You have to negotiate. Employers expect it. But you need to transform it from an adversarial discussion into a problem-solving one. I think we had a lot of fun talking about that. Look before you leap is step number nine, which means do your due diligence. You want to know what you're getting into before you get into it, right? I mean, what a surprise if you walk in like, uh-oh, that's not good for anyone. Number 10 is be honest on your assessments. That's the companies doing their due diligence. They're going to ask you to take some assessments, and you need to be very honest in how you complete those. 11 is be transparent with your references and background checks. You want to be very forthcoming. And the last step I call ice the champagne, John. You want to exit your current role, if you're in a current role, gracefully. You want to handle counteroffers well. And you want to say thank you to all those people you networked with and all those people that helped you along the way. Those are the 12 steps to figuring out what your dream job is and landing it.
And Bruce, this is something that you have been developing for many, many years. These 12 steps didn't just come out of thin air. They really are like basic fundamentals, 12 basic steps that everybody needs to be able to be aware of, to be able to put into their plan.
They are, but they're not obvious. And often some steps are overlooked. And overlooking one of these steps, like assessing the company's culture, like not lighting up a network, can change a very highly successful job search into an arduous one.
I'm a big prep guy. I really believe in the importance of preparation. I know some national talk show hosts that spend 2 hours for every hour they're on the air prepping for the show. So I know, and this is something that goes all the way back to my sports reporting days, you know, when you're going to do, you know, color commentary of a baseball game, you better do your homework, or an NBA basketball game, you better do your homework, know what's going on. The same principle applies to looking for a job.
So every encounter when you're networking, you know, is a gem. And you may not get that again. And so that's why we talked about the elevator pitch. You want that prepared so it's just ready to roll off your tongue. So you've rehearsed that many times. And then when you land that interview, you get one chance to make a first impression and one chance to succeed in that interview. John, we've talked about this. Companies put job descriptions out there. That's like the answer key to the test. You know what they're going to ask you in the interview.
Exactly.
So preparation's key.
Now, out of all these steps, I mean, and there's 12 of them. And like you said, every one of them is important. Which one is your favorite?
My favorite is... Well, hard to pick one, but because networking is so pivotal, but I'm going to pick negotiating because I've helped a lot of people with this over time, and it's fascinating because back when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth and I went to business school, there was something called getting to yes. There was a negotiating project at Harvard, and that's been the go-to negotiating strategy up till recently. And then only about 5 or 10 years ago, there's an FBI negotiator who turned it on its head. And he came out with a book that said, Never Split the Difference. He's a really tough guy. And his negotiating style is very dramatic, John. I mean, it's asking questions. It's fun and it's interesting to hear about. But the issue is if the other person on the other side of the negotiation has read the book, you're not going to get anywhere. So there's a new book that came out out of these, I can't remember where they were, but they're now at Stanford, these two professors. And I talked to the head of negotiations, the guy who teaches negotiations at Stanford. It's called Getting More of What You Want. And from that, I think that really pulls the best of all worlds together, where you create an environment where you're working together to solve a problem. You know, we want to work together. So here's what I need. You know, and you know what you can get. Let's find a way. That's my favorite. How about you?
Do any of these bring in the golden rule? I mean, you know, remember the old Zig Ziglar: if you give enough people what they want, you'll get what you want.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what it is about working together. You'll help me understand, John, what your degrees of latitude are. You may have the ability to give a little bit more on this or a little bit on something I haven't thought of. But this is kind of what I'm looking for. So absolutely, especially the last one.
Let's talk about some of the mistakes. And I know that this is something that people need to be plugged in. They need to understand you don't want to make these mistakes. Share with us some of the common mistakes that people are making these days when they are looking for a job opportunity.
You bet, John. And we touched on this briefly, and I think it merits more time. So and that's the first and absolutely most common mistake in a job search. And that is centering your job search on postings rather than networking. Meaning, in this digital world, it's easy to go online and go,
dime a dozen.
Yeah.
There's a gazillion posts.
Yeah, exactly. But guess what? Guess how many of those are solved through people coming into that site? Less than 15%. Very few. So if that's the focus of your job search, if you're just responding to postings, you're spending a lot of time with very little yield. It's not efficient. Now, let's take a look at the job market, though. We were talking about networking earlier. 80%+ of job openings are solved through networking. Even those that are posted get solved through networking. So, but on this, John, and I found this with some of our newer grads and young, but also our experienced executives. Networking's not necessarily easy. If you're an introvert, or for whatever reason, a little anxious about reaching out to people and I tell my kids, make friends. you need to realize that almost everyone in their careers, I'm sure you too, have been helped by others along the way. And there's something about the way that we're wired that humans like to help others. So asking for help as you're reaching out in the job search and your networking process is very natural. Give it a try. Dive in. The water's warm. And you'll get the results that you're looking for.
Bruce, I can't help but think of the power of in-person networking, FaceTime, actually looking somebody, handing them, you know, your contact info, your business card, whatever, as opposed to just doing everything, you know, digitally. You know, we live in this digital world where nobody sees anybody. There's something to be said for actually meeting somebody face-to-face. You know, back in the old days, people used to literally, you know, cold call, canvas businesses that looking for a job, they'd walk in. I remember one time as an early, you know, young guy, I sold word processors to law firms at one time, and I'm trying to sell them to some big law firm on LaSalle Street in downtown Chicago, and the managing partner brings me in and says, son, I'm so sorry, but we just hired an attorney last week. She thought I was looking for a job. I was there to sell him a word processor.
That's great. I am a huge believer in face-to-face. So when you're asking for help, you know, you get introduced to somebody through somebody else. That's what networking is all about. And say, John, you know, I would really appreciate if we could just have a quick cup of coffee. Love to have your insights and your help. Love to find out how you found your job here. I'm eager. You know, I've done my research, and this sounds like a lovely company. I'd love to find a way to work in a similar kind of environment. Please, you know, welcome your help. And it's not only young people, though, John. I mean, it's across the board. I got to tell you another story here. I recently talked to the recently retired president of a major Fortune 50, maybe Fortune 20 company, who is interested in doing something new. This gentleman wants to get on some more boards. And so his strategy has been that he was just going to assume that people would reach out to him. So there's not only reaching out to other people, but there's also raising awareness. I mean, if people don't know that you're interested in doing something, John, they may assume that A, you may not be on the radar, or B, they may assume that you're otherwise preoccupied.
Well, there's a lot to talk about here as we break down some of the basics of these 12 steps. We want to open up the phone lines if you want to be part of our conversation on some of the top mistakes made by job seekers with career coach Bruce Lochenour, or if you have another thought or question that comes up for Bruce. We're taking your calls, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Bruce is in the house here in our Chicago studios. We'd love to hear from you. So we're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with career coach Bruce Lochenour. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We call up.
Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks once again for tuning in this morning as we continue our in-studio conversation with our good friend and career coach, Bruce Lochenour, who's here with us. We're breaking down some of the most common mistakes made by job seekers. Bruce, once again, it is great to be with you here in studio.
Literally, it is great to be here, John, in person.
Well, Bruce, you went over the basics, you know, your 12 steps, which I think is so important. And we're talking about some of these common mistakes that folks make. What about resumes?
John, there are a couple of mistakes made on resumes, and one of them is just a personal peeve that when I see a resume, John, and they write all their great accomplishments and then have the chronology below, and you got to figure out, you know, sales leader of the year at Lanier, or sales leader of the year, you know, is that Lanier? Is that here? Is this that? Trying to connect the dots. That you want to make your information accessible.
And be precise.
Yes.
Be precise.
Absolutely.
Be accurate. Be logical and reasonable. Yeah, that
yes.
Makes all the sense.
And you know, and say what you did. Help the person understand what the scope was of the assignment and what you achieved. Because if you don't put them there, you leave it open to them making assumptions.
At the end of the day, you're selling yourself with a resume. That's really the end game. You are selling the product.
Yeah. No modesty required in filling out your resume. You want to be proud of what you accomplished. And if it was tough to get it done, highlight that. How you got it done. It's like a marketing tool for you to show that you've done. Now, I would also go so far to say, you can customize it as well. So if you get that job description and you see that they have certain challenges and you face those certain challenges, maybe you beef that up in a specific version of the resume for that company.
Do you advise young people to find a resume specialist to actually help you, or can you do it on your own? There's enough information out there on the internet on how to do it correctly.
Yeah, I think you can do it on your own. It's pretty easy. You want the chronology and under, you know, the company, the year, the company, the role, what the scope was and what you did and how you did it. I beat my sales objective by 120% by, you know, doing this, this, and this. Again, making sure that it's aligned with what they're looking for.
Do you believe in custom resumes? Like, for example, depending on what that specific job position and what that industry is, you want the resume to mirror what they're looking for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you should, because the more you can pull out how you fit, the better, the more likely you're going to go forward. Now, it's interesting, though. On LinkedIn, you're going to have one message for the universe. So you want to keep – LinkedIn is not going to be an electronic version of your resume, but just the highlights. Where you've been, you want enough that you encourage people to want more.
888-914-9149 is our number. Ann is joining us from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Good morning, Ann. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Bruce Lochenour.
Hi, Ann.
Good morning. I know the show is approaching conclusion, so I'll try to be brief with my question. I am calling to ask about a recent graduate who has been doing the digital application that you spoke of all summer, and did his very first time he got a job offer from it, an interview and an offer, but he didn't like really want that position, so he didn't accept it, but hasn't really gotten a job since, even though he's been trying. Recently, he started your advice on the networking, and he has put in applications for positions that aren't really the position that he desires, but he's qualified for. What are your thoughts on is that a good move to, if he gets an offer, take the position he qualifies for and try to apply for the one he wants when it comes open later, because there just aren't any openings for that position in a good company?
Yeah, Ann, thank you. That's a great question. And I would suggest two things. One, I think that's a fine strategy. If that's the dream company and your graduate has talked to employees there and sees that the culture is one where he or she will thrive, then it doesn't hurt to get your foot in the door, to join the company and shine. You know, work very hard, overachieve, and opportunities will open up once he or she is in. I think it's your son, I'm sorry, once he's in. Conversely, I would also encourage your son to go on to LinkedIn and see who's working in the jobs he'd like to work that he'd like to have, and contact them and say, I'm a recent graduate. I'm in the process of landing my dream job. I would love to ask you for help. I'd love to hear your story about how you landed your dream job. And I'd love to have a cup of coffee, to our point earlier about getting face to face. And that will open doors. I would pursue both strategies. That would be my advice to your son. I'm glad he knows what he wants and what he doesn't want.
Ann, thanks so much for joining us. Bruce, I love your advice. Get your foot in the door. That was an advice that was given to me when I was trying to break into broadcasting. Find a way to get your foot in the door at whatever way you can.
Absolutely. No, yeah, and we talked earlier, face-to-face, we're human beings. You know, we're social creatures. And again, we're wired to want to help others. So I'm hoping that young grad can get in and meet a few people. He'll learn. He'll confirm that that's the job that he's looking for, and people will help him. You know, it might not be that company, but they might send him, you know, somewhere else, a couple degrees of separation, and God willing, Ann's son will be on his way.
Indeed, we are social creatures, and we've talked about social media and some of the potential problems there. What's your take on social media?
Well, I'm sure you saw the Finnish prime minister and her dancing.
I did. It was wild.
So if you have any doubt that social media can impact the way people think about you,
positively or negatively.
Exactly. So you need to be very careful that, because it will be checked, John. I mean, you're applying somewhere, someone along on the process has got the responsibility
so
for checking.
If you're going to like dance on top of a table in a restaurant down in Florida during spring break, please be aware that it could come back.
Yeah, you may want to take down that posting. But I want to talk about another topic that we talked about when we talked about social media. So they all need to be aligned. Your resume, LinkedIn, your social media, being your Facebook, your Twitter, Instagram, etc. The other question that came up is faith. You know, a lot of our listeners, I assume, and you know, you and I and the people here are faith-based. And should you scrub your media of faith-based stuff? No. You want to let people know who you are, because if there's an issue with that company, with you being a person of faith, you'd rather know it before you join than after you join. So those are my views on social media.
I actually experienced that. I know,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
sorry to hear that.
You
yeah.
know, they need to know that you're a person of faith. In fact, there was can't get into it, it's a long explanation, but bottom line is that they weren't crazy about my faith perspective that I brought to the table, and so it wasn't a good fit, and it was better to find out up front than later on.
Amen.
For
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
What about the failing to do one's homework? How often do you see people not doing their homework, their prep time?
Too often. Far too often. At all levels, John. And it's so frustrating. My job is to bring amazing executives to my client companies to fill a role. And when I bring a superstar who I know has done what they need done in the way they need doing it, and this person didn't do their homework, they shot themselves in the foot. It doesn't matter if they are, you know, a notch above the rest. They've displayed they're not that interested. You know, and it may be very busy, but that's the message it sends to the board. People want to work with people that like them and know them. So it can be a fatal mistake.
People buy from people they like. So you want to come across likable, and you don't want to come across nervous. And if you don't want to be nervous, do your homework.
Yeah. And John, you know, when you know what's going on there, and when you've talked to people that have been at the company and you're conversing, they'll go, they'll look at you like you're already part of the team, and they'll shift the conversation from assessing you to talking about what needs to be done, how you're going to fit in, all that good stuff. So doing your homework, there's no substitute.
The one thing I learned from my many years as a sports reporter in that whole sports world is practice makes perfect. You have to practice your craft.
Absolutely. You want to be crisp. And that helps. You mentioned nervousness. I'm sure a lot of folks experience that when they come in. By being well prepared, you talked about preparing for the show. Believe it or not, I prepare for our shows. I know you know I do. I prepare for our shows. That helps, because then you can just have a conversation like we're doing and not think of, oh my gosh, what am I going to talk about? You should have the most frequently asked questions with answers written out to each of those. You should have, when you come in, some anecdotes of times when you face similar challenges and what you did to face them. Now, you want to be attentive. You want to ask questions and you want to be succinct. I don't say run off with your monologues. But having all that already prepared, and you're going to be amazed at how well the conversation flows.
And then it just comes out naturally. Final minute, based on your many years of doing this, what's the biggest mistake that folks make?
The biggest mistake is for the candidate, the job seeker, to fail to do their due diligence on the company's culture. Now, you found out about that one organization that had an issue with faith in advance, or as you're going through the process. It's not that hard. And it's more than just going on the website and reading, you know, all the nice things the company says, but talking to people who've been there or who are there, or better yet, who have been there, to really understand how that company operates and what they value. And that's key, because if you don't fit, you're not going to be there long.
Bruce, it has been a joy to have you here live in our Chicago studios, live and in living color. How can our listeners contact you?
Best way is bruce@relevantradio.com.
Thanks. Really, really appreciate it, and especially the extra effort. I love the business casual look that you bring this morning.
My pleasure. It's so much fun to do this face-to-face, John.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bruce Lochenour, our career coach and our regular contributor to Morning Air. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called God's Service Departments by Craig Brian Larson. Jim Corley met his friend Alex at the dealership where Alex worked. "Jim, I feel like a hypocrite every time I go to church because I fail to live for Christ so often." "Alex, what do you call this part of the dealership?" Jim asked, nodding to the area outside his cubicle. "You mean the showroom?" "Yes, and what's behind the showroom past the parts counter?" "The service department," said Alex confidently. "What if I told you I didn't want to bring my car to the service department because it was running rough?" Jim asked. "Oh, that'd be crazy. That's the whole point of service departments, to fix cars that aren't running right." "You're absolutely right," Jim replied. "Now let's get back to our initial conversation. Instead of thinking of church as a showroom where image is everything, start thinking of it as God's service department. Helping people get back in running order with God is what the church is all about." Mark 2:17, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Our thanks to Glenn, who is enjoying a couple of days off. I want to remind you to honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary in these last final days of the month of August by praying the Family Rosary across America with our very own Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. And of course, you can always watch it live at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Let's also continue to pray for our nation. Pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy with Drew in the afternoon, 3 p.m. Central. That'll do it on this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, for producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air.